Chapter 2. 2009 Africa. Many times I have read in Habakkuk 2 verses 2-3. That, where there is no vision, the people will perish. This story is that of vision. Faith and hope. Many years ago, during my time in the war, I had a vision of an orphanage in Vietnam. That dream came into place 8 years ago. Time is racing like I have never seen it. As I write this, we are over halfway through 2012. God's word is very clear in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which states, "There is a time for every affair under the heavens." This is, I believe, our time for the final harvest. You may agree or you may not. But in my 74 years, having lived on this real estate called Earth, I believe I have seen some things and had a great many experiences that lead me to this conclusion. In this Heavenly Spirit School, I wanted to continue to pen in this testimony more of God's living. Faith miracles in action. This memory is from my second adventure on the continent of Africa. My first trip was the pilot trip for establishing Susan's and my work. Robert Fitz Sr., who facilitates a worldwide house church movement from Hawaii, asked us to join him in this ministry. This is a house and street church planting ministry. Susan and I, answering the call to go to Africa, were given an email address in Webuye, Kenya in Southeast Africa. We were given correspondence from Robert in Hawaii, which asked to us to develop a relationship with Isaac and Emily Mukwai. The Lord asked me to go, and I did in 2009. The brothers and sisters had requested us to come and partner with them and teach them the further things of the Holy Spirit. They asked us to help them build a network of bush or house churches and help them to start an orphanage. Susan's and my hearts agreed, and we said, "Yes, I will go." It was 2009, and our work, as you can see, started with prayer. One email from Isaac on another continent and the Holy Spirit unction to go. John 3 verse 16 has no denominational barriers and encompasses the whole existing world. During my first visit, Isaac and Emily had only 4 children who were their prodigies. In the months preceding my first trip there, we worked on getting to know each other and our families. We shared our hearts, relationally, and the Lord greatly blessed in our distant fellowship. As you can see, distance is no hindrance. Yet face to face is better. The early church knew this well. They wrote letters as they traveled and visited when they could. Distance in Christ has no barriers. Therefore, in May of 2009, we met face to face. Our first face to face meeting was when they met me in a neighboring town called Bungoma. I had flown from Amsterdam to Nairobi, Africa, and spent a week with some folks Robert Fitz had recommended in Bungoma. My newly found family had rented a car, had a driver, one interpreter named Josephine, and Isaac's wife Emily. They picked me up. We exchanged warm greetings and stopped to get bottled water. Since our drive would take 2 hours, Isaac and Fred, the ladies' husbands, were performing a wedding in a neighboring town, so they asked their wives to escort me. I am in the front seat, passengers, left side, the driver's side is on the right. They tell me that we must stop at a market to purchase bottled water on our way out of Bungoma. So the driver and I waited in the car. Soon they returned with our provisions and the driver turns the key to engage the car. There is no response. In Africa, very few people have cars, some have motorbikes, many more have bicycles. But the majority walk or use public transportation. Now here I am sitting in this car thousands of miles from home, and these people were concerned for my life, and all they knew was that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had sent me there. I got a big lump in my throat when the driver said the car wouldn't start, because I had sent the money for a rented car. It was old and running on faith, know what I mean? Now Holy Spirit, you have gotten me this far, what's next? As I listened, he said to get out, have the driver pop the hood, and for me to get my anointing oil out of my backpack. I can just imagine at this point you, as the reader, are saying what? I looked for the carburetor on this older Toyota, and found what I was looking for. Now all of a sudden Josephine, who I was told was a friend of Emily and in leadership, was assigned to accompany me on my stay here. She got out of the car with the others and announced that the man of God from a faraway place had the faith to anoint the car and pray for it to start. She spoke Swahili and English. Wow, the pressure was really on. I had not wanted to be in a life or death situation so soon. Lord, I said under my breath. You are either showing up or I will be presented as a false prophet and ruining my witness with these new people. I then anointed the car, prayed, and then stepped back, had the driver get in, and the car started. Oh, thank you, God. Josephine, now primed and ready, proclaimed the man of God had faith to pray and anoint the car, and it started. I am alive and the people respect me. What more could I want in this faraway land? This started my adventure with my new friends face to face. As this saga continues, I arrived later that evening at the property of the Mukwai. They lived 4 miles from Webia, Kenya. They are up the hill from the town where they have a family farm with 13 acres, a portion of which is cultivated and livestock on the rest. The property is not very far up the hill from the old Pan-African paper mill, which shut down several years earlier because of polluting problems. That caused this valley to become economically depressed. The aftermath being, this is one of the poorest areas of this part of Kenya. In its prime, in 1974, Webai had a population of 60,000 people. Now they have less than half that. Waking up the next morning was a beautiful surprise. The farm is high on a hill above a triple waterfall called Broderick Falls, which we now call Trinity Falls. Never had I seen such a beautiful place. Unfortunately, every house has to have bars and shutters on all windows and large security doors. This is needed protection from what they call the night people, the ones who come out primarily at night to steal, kidnap, and kill. This is why, when we are there, they care for us so carefully. I had worked 13 days in another area of Africa. Now I am here and waking up seeing this most beautiful place. Having only 5 days here, I must make the most of this planting trip. Holy Spirit, I prayed. Please, manage my time for the best productively. The first day I spent getting to know everyone, the farm and the feel of the land. I was greatly impressed with their vision and how well it fit with Susan's and mine. They were all impressed with my freedom and childlike faith, yet being mature as a leader. I told them Holy Spirit had instructed me, through God's word, to teach an E4 school. Ephesians chapter 4 states, train the saints, equip the saints, and release the saints to their calling in the Lord. That childlike faith came into play later that afternoon as I was invited to take a hike over the hill, to the waterfalls. A number of us enjoyed this nature hike as we were resting, lying in a large field of grass, listening to the sound of Trinity Falls. After enjoying a large swallow of much welcomed water from my water bottle, one of the ladies blurted out, "Can you teach our men to laugh as you do?" They could tell I had the spirit of joy, which is one of the 9 fruit of God's spirit, and they wanted me to teach their men the same. Wow! I amused to myself how I never had expected such a request, yet one that needed serious contemplation. They had all been Muslim not long before, and their culture is much different, very stoic, and women seen not heard. Her request, you might say, was a hard one, yet the Holy Spirit always is on time and plumb lined with God's word right on target. No, I can't do that, I said. It's of one of the 9 fruit of God's Spirit and can't be bought or earned. This gift must be asked for, or released, or imparted. They seemed to be satisfied with this answer, and so I prayed that the Holy Spirit would stir them up and I could teach and pray for them to receive. What a pleasant time of fellowship we were having here, listening to the soothing waters of the falls, reminded me of the rivers of heaven flowing from the heavenly throne. Next, I started to chuckle again and soon was asked, "What's going on now?" "Well," I said, "this one will stretch you some. Are you ready?" I said. "Yes," was the reply. I told them I just had an open vision where I was playing leapfrog with Jesus. You should have seen the looks on all their faces. It was a delight to see. It was a great time we had together that first day at their farm. I had the privilege to meet Josephine's husband, Fred, and some of their children. Fred has an iron and weld shop in Webuye. I was informed that tomorrow we would travel up to a mountain called Mount Elgon, some 2 or 3 hours away. The next day, Isaac, Emily, Josephine, and I all traveled together in a rented car. I was praying all the way for safety and good running. It was definitely a faith trip. The United Nations and the government of Kenya set up a camp. It consisted of long white round tope tents, which looked like half tunnels. They were housing 2 to 3 families each, very cramped quarters, and very hot as they cooked on open fires outside. I would like to mention here that in many third world countries where Christians are being persecuted, the statistics show Christianity is either highly persecuted or even outlawed. In some countries, even though Christianity isn't outlawed overtly, preaching Christianity or converting to Christianity is, in fact, outlawed. Because of this ongoing public opposition, the home church/bush church concept is especially vital. You see, some 7 or 8 years ago, there were very hotly contested elections held in Kenya. I am afraid it is the same old story: the political party in power wins the election, the losing party, rightly or wrongly, accuses the winner of corrupting the process, and violence breaks out. In this case, the conflict was so intense it bordered on civil war in Kenya, in particular, in the Rift Valley northwest of Nairobi, capital of Kenya. This Rift Valley is a major player, since it runs alongside Lake Victoria inland all the way up to Webuye, with Bungoma on the Victoria side, and Nairobi other. After these huge clashes, hundreds were killed, wounded, or maimed. On a mountain, Mount Elgon, several hours from Webuye, they established a refugee camp that was housing 10,000 refugees. The conditions were so horrible, thousands of children, without parents, many dying daily. Do you still have your breath, missionary? The need was way too extreme. Sanitation was very poor, defecation in middle of camp. 2 people died that day from lack of food and basic hygiene. Evidence everywhere of burned buildings and villages stripped of all personnel effects. It was so heart-wrenching. I was very careful to snap pictures as unnoticed as possible. This camp was an embarrassment to Kenya, and that's why it was hidden far up on this mountain. I prayed with many people. The children had never seen a white man, and they were very curious. They were grabbing my white shin, and babies were freaking out until they could feel that I carried the spirit of peace. We took many of them aside and interviewed them about their situations. And we found orphans who could be taken to the family farm, and thus we started the care home or orphanage. That day I prayed for many in the camp and villages close by. What an eye-opener for a man from a faraway place. In the year before this trip, my wife Susan and I, on 2 occasions, had raised funds to send large bags of rice and beans and some clothing for the children. Day 3. Yesterday, here at the farm, was a real eye-opener and pivotal landmark in our work in Webuye, Kenya. I was asked to go into town today and visit Josephine and Fred's business with the metal shop and the building of metal window frames and metal security doors. From there I was taken far out 2 hours toward Bungoma province to visit with Emily's family and especially her father. Her father has great interest in our work with small groups and bush or house churches. Several hours later we got to meet face to face and had a very challenging time. He voiced his great distaste in organized religion, said it was dead, and I agreed. We both connected and shared our testimony. We had a marvelous time of relational fellowship. We talked and shared a meal with his family, then went outside under a tree in their yard where it was cooler. His other daughters and his son had many questions for me. What a great time of intimate fellowship on a lazy Sunday afternoon. I believe, relationally, we bridged a great generational gap with Emily's father. I gained great acceptance from a man with many questions. I had answered for him the many questions that had bothered him about organized religion. I was quite surprised, so far away from home, to have such a question posed to me. Her father was interested in my testimony book, Life Above All Else, and we spent some time ruminating over the testimony. All too soon it was time to head back to their farm and prepare for day 4, Marketplace Day in Webuye. Day 4. The marketplace is a big thing here in Africa, very little refrigeration and most everything can be encountered in the streets. Whatever you want or need, a new shirt, a clay pot, perhaps to be fitted for a new tailored Kenyan dress, it is all here. How about getting a live chicken to carry home to be dressed and plucked? Or could it be you need ground corn to make into ugali, which they make like a loaf and you dig in with your hand and fingers, rolling it up and dipping it into soup or other parts of your meal? One thing I told my host the first night as we ate in the light of a single oil lamp, because they did not have electricity yet. If it moves, I don't eat it? Wow! Mealtimes were certainly a new experience, like the time they wanted to stop and buy live termites to snack on. oh my. Alive and moving, hands full, the wings are moving, and kicking legs hanging out of their precious little faces. The kids love them, well thanks but no thanks. In the marketplace this day was a day to remember. I was told no white man had preached in this marketplace before. I remember thinking that day, what a pivotal day this was, here in this faraway land. I have great memories from this event, none other like this had I experienced. I talked to many shop owners, praying and prophesying over them, laying hands on some. Yet let it be known, most all were Muslim and I was very discerning. There were many small booths and tables and many children. I was enjoying this ministry in this marketplace very much. I was with Emily and Josephine and they were following me through the booths and tables and shops. When I stopped, they would listen while holding me up in prayer. Josephine was my interpreter. As we proceeded, I listened closely as Holy Spirit led us to minister and move accordingly. We soon came upon a table with a young Kenya man and I was prompted to talk with him. He understood some English and Josephine helped me to bring understanding. His name was Ronald Stuma. I asked Ronald if he wanted to correct a conflict issue with repentance. And he said yes. He was willing to do business with heaven and Jesus. As we proceeded, he became free and I led him in a prayer of restoration and reconciliation and then spirit of peace. Wow! We hugged and enjoyed that special moment in the Lord's presence. I am so impressed with the eyes of the Lord moving to and for over this earth looking for those hearts rightly disposed unto him. I marvel at how he touches people as we are led about. Father, thank you for allowing these encounters. We were soon to leave the marketplace and travel up the hill to the farm, and it was time for the evening meal. Day 5. Morning came early my last day here in Africa. My spirit was excited and anticipating, what's next? At 6 a.m., I rise from my cot and my first move is to open the wooden shutters over my bed and watch the morning sun come up. I love smelling the morning fresh air and breathing in the coming day. I was looking far out towards Trinity Falls. I heard myself boldly proclaiming, "Good morning, Africa." And I firmly believe to this day I heard the Spirit of the Living God say to me this statement, "I will do for you here as I have for Heidi and Roland Baker in Mozambique." Africa. Wow. I was humbled to tears. For you see, 2 years earlier Susan and I wanted to go to Mozambique with a full-time commitment. The Holy Spirit asked us to pull back and wait. 2 years later, I heard these words. You can imagine my surprise. Glory to God in the highest.